Actually, all the prophets in the past already talked about it. But it was fulfilled when the Lord came to this earth, living here on this earth for 33 and a half years and accomplished God's plan and ascended to the throne. Right? Let me just read to you Daniel chapter 7 right now. In verse 9, I just read to you, chapter 7, verse 9, and I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated, that was God, the Ancient of Days. He has no beginning and no end. He is the most ancient one. His garment was white as snow. And the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels was a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. And thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the court was seated. And the books were open, right? Doesn't it sound familiar after reading the book of Revelation? Can you imagine even already at the time of Daniel, he saw the vision? If Daniel was with us today, he would say, oh yeah, I saw that. He would say, I saw that. And then in verse 13, and I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who do you think this Son of Man is? It is that wonderful Lion of the tribe of Judah, who overcame, right? Coming with clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, before the one who sat on the throne. Then to him, to the Son of Man, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Praise the Lord. Right. So, Daniel already saw it. Right. And then we can continue in verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Praise the Lord. He even saw that before John saw. Isn't that wonderful? Right. This is why I said both Daniel and John, the apostle, they are very similar. And they saw a lot of things that are happening and will happen. Right. So it brings us back. Let's go back to Revelation, right? Let's go back to Revelation. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. Yeah. So he was the only one that is worthy. Today we are now weeping. 2,000 years ago he was weeping. But when he saw the vision, he stopped weeping. For sure. Right. And I hope that when we see this vision, we will believe and have faith. And even rejoice, because this is part of our future right here. Right. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, because he was worthy. Finally, can you imagine? God waited for so long after Adam fell. He was waiting for this man, and he came, and he finally took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Praise the Lord for the prayers of the saints. Right. So today, we who are the saints, the priestly saints, where do you get the incense when you pray? Outside in the outer court? In the holy place before the golden incense altar. Right. Which are the prayers of the saints. Right. Praise the Lord. So, today we have to praise God that our Lord Jesus is worthy to take the scroll to open its seals. He will not just take the scroll and then open it. Right? Like many Christians who have a Bible at home but didn't open it. Didn't read the Bible. So if you have the Bible at home, please open it and read it. Okay? Read it. Yeah. Amen. And they all say, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and you have redeemed so many people to God.
Amen.
This is why the Lord came. Why did he redeem us? Why do you think the Lord did not just rule right away? James, why didn't he just start to rule right away? Well, he is already worthy, right? A man there, caught up, sitting on the throne, isn't he worthy to rule? And his name is even called the ruler over the kings of the earth in chapter 1. To God is the faithful witness. He was very faithful, 100% faithful to God. And to us, he is the firstborn from the dead, because the church cannot be a dead church. The church must be a living church. Don't be Sardis. So he's the firstborn. The church is built by the power of his resurrection. We shouldn't be a dead church. And to the whole world, he's the ruler over the kings. So who is ruling today? Right. It's not Biden. It's not even Trump. He is ruling. But what is he waiting for? He is waiting for us. He's really waiting for us. Because it's written here, why did he redeem so many people out of every tribe, tongues, people, and nations? What did he do that for? So that they won't go to hell, right? Did he save you so that you will not go to hell, to the lake of fire? So why did he save you? To rule with him. To rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. This is what here in verse 10 says, and have made us to be kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth with him. And that was the promise to the church in Laodicea, to him who overcomes, I will give him the power to rule over the nations with an iron rod, and you will smash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Smash them to pieces. Don't do it today, okay? You can't. But when time comes, in the millennial kingdom, we are going to rule with an iron rod. Yeah, praise the Lord. But you have to be worthy. Otherwise, you cannot rule. You have to be worthy. If we are not worthy, we won't be able to rule. So, to make us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. It's very clear. You're not going to reign in the heaven. People are on this earth and you're ruling up there. It won't be practical. Okay. It must be on the earth. We will rule with him on the earth. Then I looked and I heard voices of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000, thousands of thousands. My goodness. Can you imagine? What are they doing there? Quiet. Worshipping quietly? No, definitely not. Saying with a soft voice. With a loud voice? You sure? Do you have a loud voice? Do you have a voice? We Christians shouldn't be very quiet. We should all exercise our voice. Our voice is to praise God. Amen. To give glory to God. To be a living testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what they're doing there. Saying with a loud voice, praise the Lord. A loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy what? To receive power, riches, and wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. The Lamb who was slain is worthy to receive all these. Can you imagine if the Lord failed? Will he be worthy? But we failed also in the churches. Unfortunately. This is why we need to take care of the constitution. Be poor in spirit. Don't be proud. Don't think you are the head of the church. Don't think I'm an elder. I'm a pastor. A pastor? The one who passed away? Right. Don't say, well, I'm responsible. No. We're not worthy to be a responsible one. No. We already have the most qualified one walking in our midst. He, and let him be responsible. That's why Paul wrote, God appointed him to be head over a few things in the churches. Over how many things? Come on, really? All things? So who is responsible over all things in a church? George?
Are you? Oh, where are the saints there? The saints there disappeared. What happened to them?
Well, we just muted them because when they, the camera's on you, and then they see themselves behind.
Oh, okay. At least they can partake of the fellowship.
Right? Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. They're on. They're on, yeah. To see is to believe. He is responsible. He is the worthy one, not only up there. You have to see him as the worthy one down here. To receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. You know, we have been to places where people are receiving all these and not the Lord. And I heard somebody says, I am responsible for the church here. Oh, goodness. No wonder it's in a big mess. Who can be responsible apart from him? Who is worthy? Who is worthy? I heard that older brother that says, without my ministry, where would the churches be? Oh. Try to say that before the Lord. The Lord says, yeah, you will build my church. Are you the rock? No, we are not. Would we dare to say that if this Son of Man is walking in our midst? Who would dare to say that? But that is the main problem which the Lord hates when he said to the church in Ephesus, I hate the works of the Nicolaitans. The one who is ruling instead of Christ ruling. These Nicolaitans were ruling over the saints and over all the situation in the church. That means you're replacing Christ as the head of the church. How can you be the head of the church over all things, not even over little things? Christ is the head over all things appointed by God. So, the Christians, we all say, oh, the church is the body of Christ, but it's a headless body. The body was replaced by, Yeah, right? Where is the real head? Where is the real head? Christ is the head over all things to the church. And this is what we see again in the book of Revelation. Right? He is the head. Right. So don't try to be the head. Don't even try, okay? Go to him. If the church has any problem, any questions, anything, firstly, go to the head. Because he is the head. God has appointed him. He is the one worthy. None of us are. None of us are worthy. This must be a very clear vision to all of us. And if we learn to listen to him, that is the way to be made kings and priests. Exactly how the Lord became king and priest, listening only to the Father in everything. He did only things that are well-pleasing to him. Right? He's not the one doing the work. He didn't say, I did everything. He said, no, 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 the Son can do nothing without the Father. It is not I, it is the Father in me who does the work. Paul said the same thing. It is I and not Christ. Oh no, I'm sorry, it's a wrong thing. It's not I, but Christ. But for us, it is not Christ, but I. No wonder it's a big mess today. Right? It's a big mess. So who is worthy in the church to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing? Sevenfold. Christ is worthy. Only He is worthy. Praise God. If we do that, if we keep this vision, the church will be glorious, at least peaceful. This is why I appreciate the Constitution, especially Chapter 5, being poor in spirit, being merciful. You can only be merciful if you realize whatever we are is by the Lord's mercy. It's not because of us. By the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am. Without His grace, we are just nothing. Right? We are nothing. By the grace of God, by His mercy. If you receive the mercy of the Lord in your situation personally, then you will also be merciful to others. If you're not a person appreciating the mercy of the Lord, and you see other people doing this and doing that, you will not be merciful. Does the Lord criticize you all the time? Huh? Are you sure? Not even once? Is He merciful to you? If He's not, you won't be here today. Neither will I be here today. None of us will be here today. Right. So blessed are the merciful. Where is mercy? Ah, praise the Lord, mercy. You must be a person who is merciful to others. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they that mourn. If you see a problem that happened to the saints or to your friends or to your family, what do you do? Huh? Serves you right. No, you mourn. That means you feel for the others. But instead of mourning, we criticize. We don't pray. We criticize. Right? This is not the heavenly kingdom's people's way. Right? Blessed are the meek. You like to fight? You like to fight, argue? Even in small thing, right? We like to argue. We always have our opinion. Right? No? How about you? Oh, maybe he is an exception. Praise the Lord. Right. But we are not like that. We are not meek. We are not meek. We are proud. Right? We are not meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemaker. Are you a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Hmm? Everybody's quiet. Everybody's quiet. Blessed are the peacemaker. Then blessed are the pure in heart. All of these are the quality of the heavenly people, the kingdom people, qualifying us to rule and reign with Christ. I tell you, if you don't have this quality and you're ruling, the saints will be afraid of you. The church will be troublesome. Many people will have their head cut off. There'll be guillotine. Right? But look at Moses. Moses is so meek. Even God wanted to, let me get rid of this people. Moses, you're right. I have enough trouble with them too. If I were Moses, I would say the same thing. I would say amen and amen. Agreed. Get rid of them. But Moses says, no, 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 Lord. Even for your name's sake. If you get rid of them, what would the people say? You brought them out of Egypt just to slaughter them. Right. Even Miriam and Aaron were against him. Did he say anything? He didn't say anything. It was God who stood for Moses. He stood with Moses. Right. And Moses even begged God to heal them, to have mercy on them. Blessed are the meek. Right. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Don't think we know enough. No. The more you know God, the more you realize you don't know Him. But little knowledge is dangerous, so is the proverb. We just know a little bit and then we think we already know everything. The children all like to say, I know, I know, I know, I know. I don't know how much they knew. No, we don't know, especially concerning God. This is why Paul, his attitude, like you mentioned yesterday, I want to know Him. Not that I've already attained, nor already perfected. Right. People who thought they already knew everything, they cannot progress. No. We will never know enough. Was sagen die Deutschen? Was bedeutet das? Es gibt immer noch mehr zu lernen. Oder kennst du schon alles über Gott? No. We will never learn enough, even when we see Him up there. You'll be surprised. There's so much more concerning God that we need to discover. It takes eternity. Yep. So, praise the Lord. He is worthy. And every creature which is in heaven, praise the Lord, the angelic being, and we see them doing that, yeah, giving glory to God. And so we also need to be those who give glory to God. Right? Learn this, to give glory to God. Yeah. Every creature, not only in heaven, but on earth, praise the Lord. Are you on earth today? We are, praise God. And under the earth, even if you're in Hades, you'll be praising God there, giving Him the glory. Unless you're in the wrong side of Hades. If you're in the wrong side of Hades, well, that's another story. Right. Every creature, even such are as are in the sea and all that are in them. I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. We are part of these creatures. How much more we need to give God glory and honor and praising and all the riches, all the power. Don't think you have power. No, we don't. It all belongs to him. Can you imagine if we have such an attitude in Zion today, in the golden lampstand? Wow. Will we have problems? Right? In everything we give God the glory. In everything that is done, oh, it's not our power. The blessings come from him. Everything is unto him. Amen. Then the four living creatures says, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Praise God. So do you think we shouldn't be doing that, worshiping him, giving him the honor and glory and blessing and power and all this? Right. We're learning. And I believe the Lord is training us today and showing us what they're doing up there. If they are doing up there, what are we supposed to do down here? Criticizing one another? Giving glory to men. I've seen that. It's ugly. Yeah. Because nobody deserves that glory. Don't ever give glory to men. All the praises must go to him. If we see them doing that is a wonderful situation there. How much more should we do this here in God's house today? Or is it just up there and not down here? Should it be different here, George? Praise the Lord. So I hope the situation in Vancouver will be different. And here in Fountain Valley, and everywhere in Northern California, and in Greensboro, and everywhere where the saints are. Right? In Toronto, hallelujah. We don't have thousands and thousands and ten thousands, but we have a few. Right. Nevertheless, no matter how many or how few we are, we need to be doing the same thing. And now you understand why the Lord is waiting for the 144,000 to be qualified. Don't think it is easy to qualify. And as we mentioned here in Fountain Valley, even Paul was concerned that he will be teaching others and he himself will be disqualified. Right. So may none of us be disqualified. Pray for one another. We trust in God. Trust in this great, wonderful high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, King of righteousness, King of peace, walking in our midst, helping us, speaking to us, exposing us, helping us, supplying us with indestructible life. Right? Bringing to us this wonderful bread and wine. Don't think the Lord's table is just on Sundays. It's every day. That Melchizedek has nothing to supply to Abraham. What did he give to Abraham? Oh, so little. What do you think Abraham would say? Well, I won the battle against five kings and their army with a few of us, and you just gave me bread and wine. Huh? Oh, I'm still hungry. I can't even fill my stomach. You don't know what kind of mysterious heavenly food it is. Actually, it was that food that caused Abraham to win the war. Abraham shouldn't think that he made it by himself. No.
He had only a few men with him.
Of course. So he can, how can it be him?
Yeah. Five kings.
Yeah. Not only five kings, but five kings with their army. This is why we need to appreciate the Lord's table. And every time we see that table, you should think about Melchizedek. Not Aaron. The one sitting there. That's a nice name, praise the Lord. Right. But our Lord's priesthood is according to the order of Melchizedek. He's a king. He's wonderful. Right. So please, when we have the Lord's table this coming Sunday and every day, when you're eating and drinking, partaking of Christ, think about this Melchizedek. He will make us kings and priests. This is the vision. Okay, time is up.
I have one question.
Yeah.
We know because our bodies, we have the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge. What do we want us to do?
Eat. What do you do if you have food on the table? You eat. But you eat the right thing, okay? Eat from the tree of life. The tree of life is in our spirit. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is sin in our flesh.
So do not feed the flesh. You feed the spirit. Christ dwells in our spirit, but sin dwells in our flesh. So we have to defy, go against the flesh, crucify the flesh, put him to death.
And we enjoy this wonderful Christ as the tree of life in our spirit. He's always there to help.
So now food is here. Praise the Lord.
The Lord Himself is full of all these things, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. I mean, it says to receive, but He is already full of this.
To receive from you.
I know from us,
to
but...
To give Him the honor. If your son earned a valedictorian in the school,
what do you do? Okay. Well, he is a valedictorian. No, you'll be so happy. You'll be giving a party for your son, right? Oh, you will celebrate. Invite all the friends. And say, congratulations, right on the wall. Right? An honor student, hallelujah. Won't you do that? Why are you doing that? No, because it's a praise, it's a worship for Him. A glory to God. We have to give Him the glory. What if somebody gave you a gift? What do you say? Oh, I deserve it. Oh, that's okay. What do you have to say thank you?
Because I received it.
Don't you deserve it?
No.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Give glory.
It is normal to give God the glory.
Right. If somebody said, well, I thank you, you preach the gospel to me. What is it? Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm a good gospel preacher. It's my work, it's my job. Who receives the glory? You are God. Or the Lord Jesus. We are nothing. We just have a mouth. It is the Lord within us, using our mouths, and that's all our lips. Unfortunately, many times our lips comes out not only the gospel, but many terrible things coming out of our mouths. Are you proud of that? That is why so many of the workers are so proud. They say, them doing the job for God. They're just using the name of the Lord. Not everybody who says, Lord, you are doing this and doing that in the name of the Lord. And at the end, they get a glory. And not God. For the Lord says, I don't know you. That's what he knows. We give God all the glory.